it's like, I can't get out. Like, he's here. I was like, what do you mean? And then the next thing you know, she let out a war cry and delivered our son herself in the backseat of my truck. As I stood there, white as a ghost, standing next to the valet guy and some poor guy who had like a sprained finger.
That new dad of three is Mike Chambers. He's the co-founder of the brand new podcast discovery app, Moonbeam, which is claiming to be a lot like TikTok, leveling the field for indie creators.
Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Each week, I interview someone who has an exceptional story and talent to help independent podcasters grow their shows.
Hello, and welcome back to the latest season of Podcast Coaching with Christine. My name is Christine O'Donnell. I'm an Emmy-nominated TV journalist and podcast coach. I am also the founder of Bright Sighted Podcasting, a podcast production and consulting company. So, what's going on this season? This season, I'm going to have a number of interviews from people inside the podcasting space. So if you are a podcaster, hi, you're listening or you're watching on YouTube, what I want you to know is that I am making it my mission to figure out how the industry is working so that you can do your very best to develop and grow an amazing show that is meaningful to your audience. So thank you for being here. And if you have suggestions for what you would like for me to cover in this program, be sure to fill out the survey that is in the show notes and also on my website so I can really make sure that this content is what you need to develop and grow your show. So there's going to be a mix of interviews, and there's also going to be some solo episodes with yours truly talking about some of the things that I've learned in this space. And I'm also going to be sharing some personal stories about podcasting, about my time in the TV news business. So what's going on in this episode? Today, you are going to hear from the CEO of Moonbeam. This is a new app that intends to be the home of podcast discovery while creating a TikTok-like experience. So myself and Mike Chambers, who is the CEO of Moonbeam, we talk about how podcasters can go viral through this app. We talk about how to pick the right clip for yourself in this app. This app is kind of like a mix between Headliner and TikTok. And it actually looks like he's hoping for it to be a home for people to start listening to mini episodes of podcasts. So let me know what you think about that, because I'm really interested to see how this app plays out in the months to come. We talk about his curation team and how you can personally reach out to them and they can create clips on your behalf for your podcast, which I think is super helpful, especially when so many of us podcasters might feel a little bit tapped out of putting our shows out there in all of the places. We talk about that. And we also talk about, as you heard, the latest member to join his family. His wife just had their third child, and she sounds like a total rock star. And I'm so glad he shared that story with us, because wow, what a journey they're on. Okay, so before we dive into this week's episode, I want to share a little bit more about a Bright Sider of the Week. So hello to all my Bright Siders listening. And I'm going to shout out Jessica McKinley. And Jessica, she's already been shouted out in last week's newsletter, but I want to shout her out here in this podcast episode, because her show is just so incredible. And I think that a lot of the podcasters who are listening may enjoy her show as well. Jessica is the host of Sincerely Future You. It is a podcast for female entrepreneurs looking to scale their business by mastering their time, money, and drama. Each week, Jessica, who is also the founder of What's Happening Coaching, helps ambitious women make decisions today with the future you in mind. which is just such an interesting concept, making decisions today for your future self.
Jessica McKinley, thank you so much for being a member of the Bright Sighted community and for being our Bright Sighter of the Week. If you are someone, if a podcaster out there right now who is wishing you had a community to talk about your show with, to learn more about the podcasting space with, to get more reviews, if you'd like monetization tips, check out the Bright Sighted community. I will put a link to it in my show notes right attached to this episode. So without further ado, let's dive into this week's episode. Hi, Mike. Thank you for being on my show. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. So you guys, Mike was just sharing with me this crazy story about how he has just become a father of three. And, you know, I'm a mom, so I love hearing these stories. And I recently, you know, had my second a year ago, which just like feels recently. But Mike, tell me, what do you mind resharing what happened?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, my wife and I, you know, we had our first son, Max, back in 2018, our daughter, Liv, in 2019. So pretty close together, only about 18 months apart. And we always knew we were going to have three. And you know, my wife finally had our third just a couple of weeks ago now, but in the most epic of fashion. So for the first two childbirths, you know, my wife had an epidural and she was really looking to have a natural childbirth for the third. And so we hired a doula, we went through this whole process, you know, and one of the first questions I asked the doula, you know, I'm very like, you know, when it comes to stuff like this, I'm like typically pretty direct and not in a rude way, but like really just want to have all the information I can. And I asked her, I was just like, you know, what qualifies you to know when we should go to the hospital, right? Because the whole sort of point around this natural childbirth is like, you need to labor at home for as long as possible to set yourself up to be successful. So she was like, you know, this is what we trained for. And she gave me like a bunch of like telltale signs. And I was like, great. Long story short, you know, my wife went into labor, we had the doula come over and she was progressing, you know, at a pretty standard rate, but getting close. And like all these like telltale signs that the doula had mentioned, we were sort of passing, but yet not really doing anything. So finally my wife was like, we just need to go now. And of course this was all happening around rush hour. You know, I'm the driver, the doula's staying at home with the kids while we're driving in and, until my parents get there. And so we finally, after just like horrific traffic, pull into the ER, just like into the little roundabout there. I run inside. There was this like no one there. There's like this little like volunteer 85-year-old candy striper there who was like wondering why I was yelling at her. And I go back outside and to see my wife in the backseat of my truck. And she was like, Mike, like I can't get out. Like he's here. I was like, what do you mean? And then the next thing you know, she, let out, you know, a war cry and delivered our son herself in the backseat of my truck. As I stood there, white as a ghost, standing next to the valet guy and some poor guy who had like a sprained finger, who was like going to a sprained finger check. So that's when my son Miles was born. Miles is in no way a correlation between the car thing. It just happened to be the name that we're calling him. And so he's going to be 3 weeks and on Wednesday. And it was one hell of an adventure becoming a dad of three.
What did your wife say about that experience? Like, what were her words after he's here?
She's got a very good sense of humor. And even in the most extreme circumstances. So one, I just want to say like, man, it was like the most inspiring, incredible thing to witness her go through this. It was everything from like the planning to the actual like execution of it. Just, it was amazing. But she was every bit as surprised as I was, but like trying to hold it together, I think, you know, as much as possible. We recognized how serious it was. I mean, fortunately we were in the parking lot of the hospital. I mean, they had a, you know, they had an overhead alert go off, you know, OB emergency in the parking lot, and everyone came out very shortly afterwards. But anyways, that is why we had to reschedule our first recording of this episode.
Yeah, that's true. We were planning to do the recording on that same day, and Miles came early, right?
No, he was actually a couple days late.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I just like with the other two, I just like scheduled meetings and just with the understanding that it might not happen and it might happen. Otherwise, you're just kind of in this weird waiting period, you know?
What did the doula say? Did she have any follow-up?
Yeah, so.
Way to go.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, she's pretty upset about the whole situation, I think. She was pretty disappointed that it all went down that way. She showed up shortly afterwards and got us coffee and breakfast sandwiches and then went home. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's an interesting world. That whole world of doulas is interesting to me. I still don't really know much about it. It's seemingly a very, very important, like, job that person has. If someone's sort of placing their trust in them to tell them when to go and get access to, you know, medical professionals. So I am curious. You know, I think it's probably hard to understand, like, to really know what was happening, but there were some like really telltale things that were happening throughout that were like, yeah, it's probably time to go, that we didn't necessarily listen to, which in hindsight, I take personal responsibility for just not knowing myself. I probably should have just educated myself more on it.
Well, childbirth is crazy. It can happen really fast. With our last one, I got to the hospital an hour before she arrived, and I like got like, it was just like really fast.
Yeah.
I also managed to still get an epidural, like managed, but I had wanted to not do that. And then I was like, I'm crazy. I'm not doing this. I'm getting to the part I definitely don't want to feel.
It's interesting. My wife described it as like, you just don't know how long that pain's going to last. Like, it could be hours, it could be minutes, but like, that's really ultimately why I think they advocate for this home childbirth, because if it's or not childbirth, but laboring at home for as long as possible, just because, you know, you don't have the option there. Right.
Yeah.
But man, yeah. I mean, it was a complete opposite of the other two. The other two, we were like checked into the hospital, like long before, we had 8 hours of like sleeping, and resting. And then a doctor came in and woke us up and they were like, it's time. But yeah.
Anyway. Oh. That's nice. It's time. You're 100%, or you're 100 percentile at 10 centimeters. So, you did it. You're probably sleep deprived right now. And I'm going to ask you some questions about Moonbeam.
Let's do it. I love it.
Oh, great. So Moonbeam intends to be, from at least what I've read here, the home of podcast discovery while creating a TikTok-like experience. You're the co-founder of this company. How did this come to you?
Yeah. So my partner is a guy by the name of Paul English. He's the co-founder of kayak.com and several other companies. And we started an organization together back in 2014 down in Haiti called Summits Education. We run a network of schools down there. We have around 42 primary schools down in Haiti. And in the course of building that organization, had countless trips together back and forth to Haiti from Boston, where I was living at the time. And on that journey, we really became podcast junkies. I mean, it was around the time Serial came out and Gimlet Media launched Startup. And like, there was all this like really great content. And it was just such an exciting way to like learn on the go, right? It was a really, really fun tool for us. And it was really around, you know, 2018, I stepped down. I started another production company in film. But Paul and I had been talking about this sort of issue that we were experiencing as podcast consumers of just it being incredibly challenging to find good content. There was a lot of shows that we knew we loved. Like, there was a lot of great content, but it was becoming increasingly difficult as more and more shows came out to identify, you know, shows that we liked. And so we would like turn to, you know, Facebook at the time or Twitter or, you know, social media. And like, it was kind of an interesting thing. So last year or a year and a half ago, Paul and I started talking about this again and decided that we were going to do something about it. The concept behind Moonbeam is really largely inspired by you know, by TikTok. So TikTok developed this, you know, sort of concept of like democratized discovery or like equitable discovery, whereby it doesn't matter if you're some kid in your parents' basement in Iowa or you're a Hollywood, you know, you have a Hollywood production budget, your ability to get discovered has not influenced by like your budgets or your influence or your celebrity, but it's purely influenced by like your ability to resonate with people. And so it's just, and people's ability to find you, right? So it's this sort of level playing field for discovery. As we started sort of diving into this more and more, we realized we initially approached this as, you know, a problem that we were experiencing as consumers, but we also realized in talking to a lot of hosts and particularly independent creators that this was a major pain point for them. So there's really sort of two sides to this problem as consumers and as creators. With Apple and Spotify like really battling it out right now to become the home of big budget audio, smaller independent podcast creators are really having a hard time. I'm sure you even experienced this, you know, with your show. Like, it's really hard to break up, right? It's really, really hard to get discovered. So we launched our product back in June. And essentially the idea is consumers have the ability to scroll through a personalized audio feed of podcast highlights based on who they are as a listener. So we, the main audio feed in Moonbeam in the mobile app is backed by a recommender system and gets to know who you are as a listener. And over time is recommending stronger, better and better content based on who you are. On the creator side, we've given hosts all the tools they need to be able to create and control all the content that appears in the app. So hosts have the ability to log on to the web console. They can create clips. They can, we also have a team of curators that are creating clips as well. So if they have clips already from their show on the app, they can decide what they want to do with them. They can edit them. They can, you know, do anything they want. So we launched back in June. We've got around 15,000 users on the mobile app already. And we have somewhere around 600 hosts that have signed up for the console. And really the hosts that have signed up for the console are all just, they're independent creators who are just like feeling this crunch. Like, they're dedicated to their show. They're really excited about what they're doing. They're sort of throwing their hands up in the air with respect to, you know, how they're going to continue to grow their audience.
You talked about a recommender system. Mm-hmm. And I was curious what this recommender system is and how it works. And if it has to do with looking at people's IP addresses or perhaps even the information Google knows about us, like how does recommender
system? It's all based on, our recommender system is all based on your interaction with our app and the shows that you're subscribed to. So we have all these different data points spread across the product that we are collecting as you use the product, based on listen time of a particular clip or a particular show, based on shows you're subscribed to, based on topics you tell us you're interested in, based on shows you're searching. This is all being gathered to be able to ultimately give you better recommendations.
Okay, so the recommender system is based on the user who is the podcast listener who signs up and say they like to listen to entrepreneur type or business type podcast, they would select that and then they would be given access to short clips. Is this similar to what Pods is doing? Sorry.
To create channels based on particular shows or based on particular topics that you like. So say you're interested in learning about cryptocurrency, you can create a channel based on that and then you'll see a feed of clips that are all about cryptocurrency. The main feed though, however, is a collection of it's basically a feed of highlights that are being recommended to you based on who you are as a listener. So that you can create channels and that would not be influenced by the recommender system, but the main feed is all influenced by this recommender system. And honestly, like, it can make recommendations better than your friends, right? Like all these little things that you're doing while you're interacting with the app are giving us tons of data for us to be able to ultimately leverage put you on to shows and clips in this context that you may not even realize that you like, but that you do, that you actually find quite interesting.
So if I am searching for cryptocurrency, but it turns out I also really like crime, will this app know that I secretly like crime, even though I never said anything about it based on like.
You never indicated in any way, shape or form that you like crime podcasts, it won't know. Okay. But the idea is as you're scrolling through this main feed, you don't realize what you're doing, but you actually may be listening to one clip slightly longer than another clip, or you might interact with one clip in a certain way. You might share it. You might like it. You might subscribe. You might click through and, you know, learn more about the show or see, you know, learn about the host. So as you're doing all of these things, that's the data that we're ultimately leveraging to help make the recommendations better.
And these are completely audio clips. There's no video associated.
Currently, they're all audio based. That's correct.
Do you plan to change that?
Maybe at some stage. We're still looking into this. So I do think audio or video is really interesting. A lot of real, you know, obviously, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. We're seeing a lot of growth with video and podcasting. YouTube's obviously become a huge platform and a huge tool for a lot of independent creators to help get discovered. It's funny to me that, you know, creators have to turn to all these platforms and do things like this. I think the reason for that is because we just don't have a platform that addresses their needs yet. And that's why they're sort of scattered right now across all these platforms trying to figure out these things.
So how would an independent podcaster go viral on Moonbeam like they might go viral on TikTok?
It's a good question. So we obviously just launched, right? We don't have millions of users like TikTok does. We're still refining and we're iterating and we're continuing to improve upon the product. Over time, we envision Moonbeam as the place where people are going to go when they have the question, you know, what should I listen to next? This is going to be a very easy and quick way for them to be able to scroll through content based on their interests, and then find a great show to listen to. In addition to that, it's also going to just be a great place for you to consume short form audio. And that's something that we're really excited about as well. So, you know, discovery becomes a secondary effect of just hearing really great audio. So over time, you know, as we continue to develop our user base, you will be able to go viral, you know, on Moonbeam, much like you are on these other platforms. We'll have, you know, very similar sort of functionality.
I'm gonna like call out somebody I started following recently on TikTok, who is just like a motivational speaker, like, yep. Kind of, but she's like just silly and weird and fun, and I just really enjoy her high kicks and her sense of humor. And her name is Zozo Rowe, and she's from a small town in Illinois, and she's just like gone from like zero following to having a huge following. And she was just at the VMAs last night. And she's like, yeah. What is my life right now? And how did this happen? How are all of these opportunities coming my way? Is that the kind of story you hope to tell about creators?
The idea here that like, there's only this, like, you need to have massive budgets for your program in order to have like a really good podcast is crazy to me, right? Like, there's nuggets that are happening in all of these shows that are really valuable for people. They just never hear them. So surfacing those for users based on what they've told us they like is a really easy way for us to help that sort of virality component.
Yeah. Is there somebody you like listening to right now?
I have a ton of different shows I'm subscribed to. Let me pull this up. This is always a dangerous question for me.
Well, I mean, a new parent too. Like, I started listening to all of the like conspiracy theories.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My first, yeah. I wasn't sleep deprived. I was like, I believe now.
You know, it really kind of depends on. I started listening to the new Elizabeth Holmes series, which is not an independent show. I know that. Which I'm drawing a blank on the name of it. And then there's like, yeah, I mean, there's so many shows. It depends on the mood I'm in. You know, if. You know, I really like Masters of Scale with Reid Hoffman. I like, you know, Conversations with Coleman is fun. Yeah, I mean, there's just a bunch of shows that I listen to. A good friend of mine has a show called Nature Untold, which is a really cool podcast about addiction and recovery and stuff, which is really interesting in the outdoors. So yeah, it just kind of depends on the mood I'm in. I also find myself, honestly, I really, and I'm not alone in this, I know, because Edison has some data around, you know, podcast listener behavior. And in general, I think it's somewhere around 60% of podcast listeners feel like podcasts are too long, which is not really surprising when you look at like the data, right? So the average podcast length is somewhere around like 55 minutes. You're going to have to correct me.
Yeah. I think that was the original data from like 2018, 2019. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the, I think the most common use case, right, is commuting, right? So the average commute is like 28 minutes or something like that. Though this data has been affected obviously by COVID. That's changed, but it's really interesting. Like I do find myself oftentimes like stopping in the middle of a show and then like having to pick up later. What I like about like the way that we've structured Beam and in the direction that we're heading here, and Beam is this sort of main feed, is that these clips are designed to provide standalone value. They're 10 minutes or less. So you can either just listen to this feed and like have derived some sort of value from having heard this like snippet, or you can jump into full episode listening.
So I think that some podcasters, some indie creators feel a little bit lost when it comes to how to pick the right clip that's going to go viral.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that some of the bigger shows that have like the experienced producers and journalists and like entertainment people who have been working in this industry for a long time, like they get it.
Yep.
Do you have any thoughts just maybe on the top of your head, like something that would likely go viral on Beam?
So we've seen with like the clips, the guidance that we're giving to the creators that are reaching out to us is like, in general, like it has to be somewhat provocative if you really want it to go viral. And it has to provide some sort of either insight or joke or moment of education. Like there has to be an actual tangible morsel of value in that like clip. It can't just be a random snippet from, you know, a random snippet that is really hard to understand without context. Like you really need to search, and not just search, but like intentionally like find or produce these moments in your show when you're creating your show that are exciting, that are, you know, sensational, that are energetic. You know, that's the type of stuff that ultimately people are going to hook onto and want to come learn more about you.
I really like that word, provocative, because I think sometimes people think, I'm going to post something that's super valuable, that like is it's an educational morsel, which is great. They might listen to that educational morsel and never look for more. But if you post something provocative, like the moment the guest on your show's wife is saying he's here, she's delivering a baby in the car.
And this is why I was like, I know she's going to want to hear this. I'm happy to give it to her because there's her bite. I mean, honestly, like, but that's exactly right. Like it's something that happens in your show and you need to make this happen in your show as the host that is like going to bring people in. Right. Yeah. And they're going to want to continue listening. You know, the content in Moonbeam, we're identifying that we have a team of curators. We also are, you know, creators are creating their own content right now. But really that's the kind of charter that they've been given is to really search for this like sensational, provocative moment that's really going to hook people. And that's ultimately the end goal.
I would almost say that that's maybe the blooper for some indie podcasters. Yeah. You might be like, oh, that's the mistake that I have to edit out.
Yeah, no.
It's not.
I think that's the problem with a lot of independent creators, independent podcast hosts. And I use creators and podcast hosts interchangeably, but like, yeah, I mean, I think like, even if the content is serious, like you got to have fun a little bit. You've got to be a little bit lighthearted. You've got to like, you know, open yourself up for some of these moments because there's a lot of serious content out there, right? It's not just, you don't have to be a comedian. That's not necessarily it, but you just have to like open the door for these moments to like present themselves. And I know it can be tricky. And this is, you know, it's about trial and error, right? Just like try a couple things, ask some provocative questions, like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's interesting, you know, I just want to add one more thing here. Like when you think about like when you think about how discovery is being done right now, more often than not, like you have sort of social discovery on social media and like friends recommending things. And then you have like these like endless directories, right? You have the Spotify directories. It's like going to Blockbuster or like going to an old video rental store. You end up like looking at the show art and then reading some text and then making a decision as to whether or not you want to listen to it based on kind of no information. You know, maybe you'll look at some reviews and ratings. It's crazy to me that like, you know, this like concept of like highlights or short form content hasn't really permeated the industry in a more meaningful way to date. When like you look at video, when you look at even just like written text, like it's kind of universal that like to understand whether or not you want to listen to something, you have to listen to it, right? Like you have to get a sense as to whether or not you like the host or whether or not you, you know, you're interested in the content. And with only maybe 5 seconds of someone's attention span, if you're starting them off by, you know, with a long show opening or like, you know, music or like, you know, ads or anything like that, you know, especially the way podcasts are structured right now, like you're not going to really necessarily have much success with that. So one of the tools beyond just using a product like Moonbeam is to really surface this moment and put it right at the beginning of the show, knowing that like you have this very limited window to get people's attention.
Yeah, I agree. I also think meeting people where they're at is helpful. Like if you are hosting a show and maybe you're not super experienced, picturing that you're talking to someone instead of just feeling completely alone, maybe with a microphone, picture someone's there, you're talking to them, say their name if you need to.
You interact with people in such a more meaningful way when they're in front of you. So like physically in front of you. So that's really good feedback, I think, as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I actually find that if I'm doing something live, like there's a whole other level of Christine that comes.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like hands are going, you know? Yeah.
Welcome. Okay. Couple more questions for you. You said team of curators that you have right now. So would you suggest that someone who's new to the app, who's an indie podcaster, reach out to your team of curators to see if they may be able to get featured?
Absolutely. Yeah. So definitely reach out to our team of curators. We can help you with the clip creation process. We can help you. We can even create some clips for you. And the ability right now, the ability to get featured really is solely, like I said at the onset, you know, it's an equitable platform, right? So if we see some people start to like your content or listen for a longer period of time, more people are going to see that over and over. So your incentive is to try and create the best content you possibly can. More content isn't necessarily better, right? So having 20 clips in there is not necessarily the end goal. The end goal would be to just have a few really powerful moments that you know are a really good representation of the show. You know that if you were scrolling through and you heard, you'd want to jump in and hear more. So that would be the recommendation.
So I love the idea of having some curators create some stuff for you. And here's why, like one, I think that it might help guide people to the good clips in their show. And they'll be like, hey, someone listened. One, two. I think indie podcasters feel a little tapped out of creating clips to repurpose their content. So I love that you can edit completely within the app. I think that's super helpful instead of like creating all these like audiograms other places. Is there anything that you would want to share with indie podcasters who feel tapped out of like feeling like they have to be
everywhere?
For
you. Okay. We're coming for you. All right. We've got a lifeline. We're coming for you. No, in all seriousness. This is the exact sort of sentiment that people have expressed to me throughout my journey of getting this up and running. You know, we've just heard from folks that there's just so many things that they need to do to create a podcast, to manage all these different platforms and all these different things and hear audio. It's just too much, right? And meanwhile, they are not getting discovered. They have no ability to manage their community and forget about monetizing. Like that's like just not even a possibility, right? So the way in which we're sort of trying to position Moonbeam moving forward here is like we really want to be that one platform where everything can be done and be done very easily, particularly for this independent podcaster demographic. We're not interested in these sort of big budget shows. We're really interested in this sort of long tail, if you will. And what that'll look like is a web platform that provides hosts with all the tools and all the features they need to get discovered and grow their audience, to build and manage community and learn about their listeners. I think one of the things that is frustrating from independent creators is they have no idea who's listening to their show. They have no idea. They have very limited stats. They don't actually have any ability to contact these people. So they go to these other platforms to try and manage and build community. It's very low conversion. Having all of that stuff directly in the place where people are consuming the content. So that means like the ability to send your subscribers messages, the ability to learn more about what your listeners like and what they don't like, all those community features. And then third is what we call sort of high conversion monetization features. So as an independent creator, like ads aren't really a viable monetization, you know, tool yet, right? So once you are able to build an audience to a certain point, it becomes viable. But in the interim, there are a whole bunch of ways that you could start to monetize your content, assuming that you have a very small sort of micro community that really does indeed engage with your content. The problem right now is like, again, this is like low conversion things. Like you go over to Patreon, you're sending people over to a third party platform. You are, you know, maybe having some sort of subscription newsletter or something like that. There's all these things that are really kind of low conversion. So I've never understood why all of these sort of monetization features are not built directly into the UI where people are consuming the actual content. And so we're really, I'm not gonna go into too much detail on what that looks like, but we're gonna have a handful of very tangible, high conversion monetization features for creators on our platform that we'll be launching out here over the coming months.
That's awesome to hear that. I actually had an audience question, and the question was, will Moonbeam have the ability for podcasters to monetize? So,
oh yeah,
there you go.
Definitely. And there's some really interesting ones that we're looking into, but we have a few that are going to be launched in the coming months here that are really exciting.
I wanted to play a name association game with you, and hopefully it will be really exciting and maybe provocative.
All the provocativeness for me, provocate, whatever it is. Yeah.
They call me the provocateur.
You are the provocateur.
So I'm going to just say some names of like perhaps some other podcast apps that are out there, which also claim to help with podcast discovery. I'd love to know what you think. So if you want to share in 1 to 3 words, what comes to mind after this?
Be in trouble.
Well, I mean, just like say bananas if you don't want to say anything at all.
Gotcha. All right.
Okay. Pods.
I can't just do two words. I'm sorry.
Okay. Go.
Sorry. Pods developed a great product. It was a beautiful UI, beautiful UX, and it was really impressive. The trouble with Pods was their content was AI generated and very rarely offered any sort of value in terms of helping people understand whether or not they liked the show. It was designed as a random snippet from an episode that was 60 seconds or less. And it was really hard to understand what was happening, right? So this is where, you know, the technology to create, you know, clips using AI is not quite there yet. And I'm sure that they're going to continue to develop it under Spotify. But this is where the human curation element and giving creators the ability to control the content really comes in. So I see the content in Pods not being valuable enough really necessarily to aid in discovery.
Clubhouse.
I think Clubhouse is a bit of a fad. I do think that there's some value. I think we'll see elements of Clubhouse around for a while, but I think it's going to be hard for Clubhouse to continue with just all the action in that space right now with Twitter. And there's so many players right now, it's just going to be challenging.
It is a lot. There are a lot of players. Fireside.
I haven't used that product. So this is Mark Cuban's thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I can add a lot of value. I haven't used it yet.
Okay. How Fireside works, is it supposed to create audience engagements like live listening?
There's it's an interesting concept, like live podcasting. I mean, we've really come full circle with radio at this stage. It's an interesting concept. Yeah. I mean, I think that'll definitely enable more sort of interaction, which is good.
Podchaser.
They're great. We love Podchaser. We're partnered with Podchaser. We love those guys.
Chartable.
Chartable's great as well. I think what Chartable's doing is really great. Yeah.
Perfect. Is there any I didn't mention that you'd like to comment on?
No, I mean, I just want to say this. There's clearly a lot of activity in this space right now. And I think as a community, as an industry, we should all be incredibly excited. You know, I think we're only in the first inning right now with audio, with respect to this sort of whole podcast or audio renaissance. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a lot of big problems that need to be solved. And discovery, I think, is where we should really be kind of focusing our energy, because that's sort of, you know, predicating all of these other problems. So that's why, you know, we're really focused on that, but I'm excited to be a part of this industry right now. I think there's a lot of great people. You know, Good Pods is another company, they're really sort of leaning into social discovery. I think they're doing great work. Headliner was really the kind of OGs of, you know, the OG of, you know, kind of clip creation, which is great. It's exciting to see what they're doing. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of products out there that are starting to push the envelope with respect to innovation, and that's exciting to see.
Will Beam or Moonbeam, will it be like called Beam, you think, more than Moonbeam?
Well, Beam is our main feature. We'll see. We'll see. There's some conversations.
I had a feeling. Yeah. So will Moonbeam be similar to Headliner, in after you create a clip, you can download it and then repurpose it other places, like a Moonbeam logo?
Now, so even in the app, if you just click share, you can download the video and it'll download an audiogram for you of that particular clip. So you can just go to your show page right now. Chances are we might already have a clip from your show, and you can download that right away, right from the app. But also you'll have this functionality yourself on the console once you've claimed your show.
Perfect. Thank you. This is wonderful. Mike, you are awesome. Thank you for taking the time to share with me today. I know that you're super busy. You've got those three kiddos. Are they all home? Or are they?
My son's in school and the other two are at home. Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there anything that I didn't ask that you would like to share with the audience?
No, I just hope everyone goes and checks out, you know, Moonbeam in the App Store or in Google Play. And if you guys, you know, have a show and you want us to create some clips for you, please reach out to us. And yeah, thanks for having me.
Wonderful. Thank you for being here.
Tag me on Instagram. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you next time.